Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, welcome back. And as I've kind of harped a lot, so those of you who listen to the show understand precisely what I mean when I say it's now or never. And, you know, it always comes across when, you know, somebody's absolutely frantic, you know, screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, and they're like their head's on fire or something. And I can't just do that all the time. I'm not a good actor. I don't think I ever aspire to be an actor. And actually, the real problem I have is more of on the moral nature of becoming an actor, because you have to be able to lie. And, you know, that I've discovered that there are professions that require you to be disingenuous, that require you to lie and to become very comfortable with something that you're not. And, you know, the intelligence community, there are definitely disciplines. The human intelligence, you know, where you're actually spying and doing things that, you know, there's just no way I could have done that. And politicians, many politicians, because they are involved in politics. Now, when I say politicians, those are people that are ambiguous. Now, let's be clear. America, and this is something we don't teach, in America, there is no room for politics and politicians. To be clear, we have the only place, technically, the only place where we have sovereigns is in the county government, where politics can actually play out. And the reason why is because we do not have county constitutions. A constitution in America, and the standard in constitutions in America, is where we delegate very specific roles, responsibilities, powers, and property. And so I'm going to prove the point that when you look at the Constitution and you look, whether it be at the federal or whether it be at the state level, did the power, the role, the responsibility, or the property that they're possessing, did that get delegated? And if so, how did it get delegated? You hear me talk about state property and state property rights, and we need to re-examine and actually redo state constitutions so that the state can actually have some strategic controls for making sure that we have what's best. But our failure to articulate clearly how to keep and confine our government is our fault, because they really did an awesome job in confining the federal government in the Constitution. We, the people and the states, have done a terrible job in keeping them confined, because if we all would have been taught this concept of the enumerated Constitution, the federal government wouldn't be in this situation. They wouldn't be in this position to have all of these usurped powers. We would have said, hold on, before you even pick that sword up, sorry, you don't have the delegated authority to do that. So just shut that Department of Health and Education and Welfare down in 1953. Just shut that agricultural department down in the 1800s. Shut that Department of Interior, what they called the Department of Home, in 1849, down. You don't have the authority. What happens is, as the federal government does this, I don't have any evidence of this, but this is how I would do it. I would actually prepare a plan and float it out to the states to say, hey, look, we're going to be creating this department of whatever, the Department of Home, and we're going to, you know, maintain a strategic control over the new states coming into the Union. And the old states that were, you know, already in the Union, well, they go, huh, Well, it's not going to cost us anything. We're not losing any of our sovereignty. We're not losing any of our standing. No, okay, that's fine. That's okay. Even though they didn't have the authority to do that, the only way they could have done that is to amend the Constitution, right? I mean, you have to delegate that power before that power can be authorized. So even though the states may have received money, the existing states may have received money, and they turned their head the other way, didn't make what they did constitutional. Now, those people who are susceptible, those people who are buying into this concept of assemblies, this concept of, you know, sovereign citizen, the Anna von Ritz people out there, those people who buy into this do not understand what I just said. In other words, when you buy into what Anna von Ritz is selling, she is selling you a bag of goods that is based upon powers that were never delegated, and she's calling it legitimate. It's the same thing with these people talking about the government corporations in America, that they're legitimate, that they've created this. This is all wrong. No, it was never done legitimately. The legitimate framework still exists. We just have to demand forcing government to get into that framework again, to basically peel back all of these little shells that they've built upon each other, all unconstitutionally. The key is it was done unconstitutionally. This is the big problem everybody has with me. Because I'll always say, where did they do that constitutionally? You know, and there's some people that, you know, I've ruffled feathers with that on the conservative side, such as the common law folks. I remember having a conversation, and in the group conversation, I said, you know, the common law was not delegated in the Constitution. It was left to the states. And it was. And I actually proved that because it was actually stated, and it was actually by both sides. The anti-federal said, hey, it does not declare common law to be the law of the land. And the rebuttal from the Federalist was, if it did, then there would be no other law. In other words, they left it to the states to have full sovereignty to determine what course they wanted to go down. It wasn't until the Bill of Rights where they actually articulated that the U.S. citizen, or in cases, here it is, in cases of common law. Well, when you have this common law extension, that you have this right, then if the U.S. Constitution guarantees this protected right of common law in the Seventh Amendment, that doesn't mean that the states have to until the 14th Amendment. Because the 14th Amendment says that no state can pass any law that violates the privileges of a U.S. citizen or their immunities. And so that means that because this Constitution, the federal government had to protect the right of the person to have a common law, you know, jury, a common law case, that extends that to you and I, even if you live in Louisiana. The problem is that nobody's connected all of these dots, and there's reasons why. Because when people start understanding how well protected we really are, it takes away their power. The education system has to teach you that you really have no power other than as a form of a body in a democracy, which is absolutely unconstitutional. All of the things, it's. I can understand why people's heads are literally spinning because they, you know, were being tossed to and fro. There's all of this misinformation that we're being fed. But anyway, I started going down this path, and let me kind of back out, and let me actually get into some of the things that I think is really paramount. There's a lot of things going on, and I will talk more about, you know, how I consider myself blessed. But there's a lot of things going on that I think we're finally in a position where we're making headway. And what I mean by that is I think we're finally in a position where people are actually starting to get it. You know, they're fine. And I guess it's just the simplicity, folks, that it's a compact. The Constitution is a compact. It falls under contract law. Is it there or is it not there? That's exactly how it was sold. It was sold in every one of the states where they, you know, heavily debated it, and it was very clear. And to be clear, folks, if it was sold in one state, it applies to all. One state, because of the uniformity clause and because the union itself, it only took one party to say, hey, by the way, you know, they can't create a law and then immune themselves from it. Like Massachusetts was the only state that did that. And so because Massachusetts was the one that was able to call that out as a party to the compact, and it becomes a mutually agreed as people came into this compact. Whether they knew it was stated there or not, it still applied because that definition is applied across the board. When it comes down to what this Constitution, the terms and definitions of this Constitution are to be applied. So, with that, I am absolutely amazed every time I look at this and every time I go through this, I try to point out to people, folks, if you realize the level of genius that is placed into this design, that gave us the power, that gave us all these protections, that all we had to do was be vigilant in holding them accountable. And so, what are we doing? What the heck are we doing, folks? Well, so, what we're doing is we're going to go into a break, and when we come back, I want to tell you more of the stuff that I've got going this week and coming up. And so, please stay tuned. We'll be right back. And thank you so much for tuning in, by the way. I don't say that enough.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, excuse me, we've got a lot going on, and what I'm doing is I'm going to be giving my second presentation in South Dakota, and earlier this, or last summer, I did a virtual, it was kind of like one of my first kickoff virtual presentations, and it was for a Save Wyoming rally. Now, I do travel, but because of my health and my condition of my health, I'd rather live longer because I don't have a good immune system. And the last thing I want to do is ask a whole bunch of people to put masks on if you're going to come up and, you know, get close to me, because I just don't have the immune system to be able to fight And any type of virus that can affect my lungs could be fatal. So don't want to push that. I think that my survival is, you know, the Lord knows when I'm going to go. He's set my time. But I have to be vigilant in doing what I need to do if I'm going to be effective. Now, once I'm no longer effective, then okay, let's throw caution to the wind, right? Anyway, so we're doing a presentation this Thursday night, tonight, and we're doing a radio hosting in South Dakota as well. And so what we're doing is we're trying to do a media blitz, and we're trying to get information out to as many people as possible that there is a bill that is being introduced in the state legislature that will demand full compliance. Now, let me get back to this Constitution and how in and under our Constitution, politics is not allowed. Politics is the essence of factions, political factions, agreeing that they can do something, and they compromise, and there's usually a compromise. Well, if I let you do this, then you have to let us do this. And so one of the political compromises I can point to historically that occurred was the removal of prayer in school. It was a political compromise. So show me in the Constitution that they had the authority to remove prayer from school. They didn't. The federal government couldn't get its knickers in there. They constitutionally, they had no position. You know, if the Supreme Court wants to be the historical Supreme Court that actually restores liberty, you know, and they started with Roe v. Wade, there's a lot more that they need to do, a lot, and they're not willing to do it. I think that it was one thing that was probably bothering me and bothering them, and probably maybe they were being haunted, and rightfully so. They all should be haunted if they understand the Constitution. I don't know about this new jurist that came in, Jackson or whatever her name is. I mean, she's so programmed and so ideologically wired to the dark side. And what I mean by that is to communism and that ideology of subjugation that, you know, God help us. God help us that people like that get into positions of that level of authority. But that's kind of what's been happening. Just to be clear, that's kind of what's been happening. And so politics is not allowed, because what is allowed based on our Constitution is the enumerated roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties, as I started the show off today. So when you look at education, when you look at energy, when you look at commerce, what authority do they have? Just because the word commerce is mentioned does not imply that they have the ability to regulate every faction and every level of commerce. As a matter of fact, their ability to regulate commerce is limited to this very, very clear and concise thing. They're able to regulate commerce among the states, not within the states, not between the states, among the states. In other words, they're to make sure that one state can't tell another state, like California, with their environmental protection standards and emission control standards, to tell Detroit how they have to manufacture cars. If California wants cars manufactured a certain way, then it has to promote car manufacturing in California. But God forbid they do that. Heck no. The progressive agenda in the 60s was already moving forward, and they were already prepared. The whole concept of the EPA and Mother Earth and worshiping Mother Earth instead of Christ, because Gaia, this old, old religion, keeps on resurfacing. It was Gaia existed back in the Greek days, and the ancient Greek philosophers, you know, considered Gaia or the Earth because they were susceptible and they bought into saving Mother Earth. like they had a chance of being able to even put this Earth on its, you know, tilt the Earth on its axis. Now, I will admit today with nuclear weapons and, you know, the amount, the proliferation of them, you know, we could do some real damage. We can do some real damage. And I believe that the reason why we have not obliterated ourselves is because the Lord is in control. And in those ways, that's not going to happen. I do not lose any sleep at nighttime thinking that the whole world is going to come to an end because of our doing, or I should say, by our hand. It will come at His hand, but not at ours. And so there's too many things to worry about. Getting people to stop subjugating others is the foremost. But the Constitution, in its design, protects that from happening. It protects politics, parties, or factions from being able to compel us to be able to, you know, usurp authority and make decisions to say, you can't do this or you have to do that. We are looking at the epitome today, folks, of compulsion and despotism. When you hear the president say he's looking at banning gas stoves, come on. He has no authority. Congress has no authority. Everything that they have and all of the guns that they are using to rain this tyranny down upon us is our own fault. They have no authority to enforce their own laws. Where is that in the Constitution? The Constitution protects us from a standing army. And so understanding the Constitution and how well we were protected. I keep telling people only the Lord knew what we were going to be facing. And He made sure that that document was done in such a manner that we would be protected even in these days if we would only wake up and demand compliance to that covenant. Oh, so what's another word for contract? Covenant. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting how consistent He is? And you know, folks, this is not a religious show. But you can't walk along this path of liberty and not recognize His hand. And when you do, are we not obligated to, you know, say amen, thank you for what you've done and how you've protected us? So, folks, under our Constitution at the federal level and even at the state level, they were supposed to be designed to not grant general powers, to be very specific in limiting the power that government could wield. Now, see, the federal government knows that the state governments have a lot of latitude because nobody was scared of their state, but they should have been. As I've proven, historically, it's always been the states that have reigned tyranny. And now that we've applied it to the federal level to say, you know what, this really works in protecting ourselves, now we have to apply it to the states. And more importantly, as I told you, the only place where politics really can play out, because we don't have constitutions, and though we have sovereigns, if you have a county commissioner, our county supervisors and a county commission, and this board of commissioners basically has the ability to make decisions, and you don't have a constitution to contain those types of decisions, don't tell me they're not sovereigns. Don't tell me that they don't have a level of power and authority over you when they decide to restrict your ability to get water out of the ground and say you can't, if you don't have an existing well on your property, because they've passed this law in many of the states, Washington State being one. If you own property, let's say you just purchased property and you're going to develop it and you're going to build on it, and you knew that underneath you was this huge aquifer of water, a huge one. I mean, a one that is being fed with an eternal supply from the mountains and the ice and everything else. And you're going, there is no end to this aquifer. So your plan was to put a well in there. And now all of a sudden, after you've purchased that land, they tell you, or let's say you have a part of your land that you want to develop, a part of your land, and you need to put a well over there. They've passed a law that says you cannot, there are no more wells allowed. We can only authorize replacement wells for those who have them. Now, folks, because we're ignorant on the Constitution, and because the framers were so inspired by the divine hand of providence, they actually passed, or they injected into the Constitution by his inspiration, they actually put into the Constitution that they can't make ex post facto laws. Something that was legal all of a sudden becomes illegal, and you can't do it anymore. So in other words, when you bought that land, if it was legal, it's one thing to make it a law to say no more. If you buy property, then under this new law, that new purchase, you can't do that. We'll be right back.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, you know, to my good friend that helps me keep the keep some type of a semblance of what this show is about, I would just help you, my friend, and basically say this show is about how politics are unconstitutional in America. And so, and I didn't have any plans in doing this. I was planning on getting into the strategy. But the thing that has been vexing many of the leaders I'm working with in Missouri, Virginia, all across this nation, in Idaho, all everywhere, are these assemblies, these committees of safety, and they're convincing people that politics has been alive and well in America, and our good Lord made it unconstitutional for politics to exist. In other words, the only thing, and technically, politics are very limited under the federal government and are limited under the state government as well. Because politics, based on definition, it's the art or science. I'm giving you the definition here. The art or science of government or governing, especially the governing of political entity, such as a nation and the administration and control of its internal and external affairs. Politics is the set of activities that are associated with making decisions in groups and other forms of power relations among individuals, such as the distribution of resources or status, the branch of a social science that studies politics, governments, is referred to as a political science. Aristotle, in his book Politics, declared the politics exists in everything. In a marriage, it exists. So when somebody says we don't allow politics, they're being political. When somebody says, oh, we don't have any politics going on here, they're lying to you. Because when people are working together, whether it be a husband and a wife, they're making decisions to, as it says, the allocation of power, resources, or, you know, making decisions of what to do. And problems come up in marriage when one decides to do something different than the other agreed to, or they didn't discuss, and those types of things, right? I mean, talk to anybody that's have any type of marital strife. If you don't follow politics in marriage, then you're going to have problems, because it's the art of compromise. And so where in the Constitution, when it says that there's no delegated power for energy, where is the art of compromise to allow them to take on energy other than by using politics and playing politics to say, we're going to give you money if you let us do this? Clearly, they don't have the authority to do it. They don't even have the authority to give you that money. The fact that you took that money doesn't mean that, you know, you're obligated. This is the other thing, folks. When the federal government comes along and they give you money and they say, oh, well, we're giving you this money and there are strings attached to this. What the first thing we really have to do is we have to say, you have no authority to give people money. Stop it. And slap their hands and knock the money out of their hands. We have to slap it with that level of authority. We have to stop taking it. But if you've taken money and all of a sudden you've realized, oh, well, shoot, you know, like all the money that just came out of Biden, the trillions of dollars that have piped into the states, that they're actually pushing into the states now from the Build Back Better and all this other crap. If the states actually took that money, but see, they're really smart. They want to put this in the hands of NGOs and other entities and organizations to control. And if the states are smart, they'd seize that money and say, you don't have the authority to do that. You didn't have the authority to give this money to them or anybody. And as a matter of fact, at that point in time, that's when we turn the spigot off. That's when we actually shut down politics that are not allowed. Now, I misspeak a little bit when I say politics is not constitutional. Only specific politics. In other words, there is politics on declaring war. You have to get everybody, enough people, to agree that we have to go to war. So there's politics involved in that. The only politics that are allowed in America, so maybe I'll rephrase what I'm saying. It's not that politics are unconstitutional. Only very specific politics are constitutional. And most politics that are being applied in America today are unconstitutional. The politics that the unions are playing and, you know, pushing out upon America is unconstitutional. And I say that because they have no representation. Where is the house for the union? It's not. Any lobbyist organization, like the Convention of States, coming in and offering money to a politician to say, you know, you need to help this. It doesn't matter even if the Convention of States happens to be, or the Article 5 Convention is in the Constitution. They're still not a representative. Who are these representatives supposed to be answering to? Not lobbyists with money in their hands. That's playing politics. That type of politics is illegal. In America, you are held to your constituents, your voters, not people with money, not a rich person. This is why, you know, in the strategy, and if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you look at therepublic.org and you go to the Take Action page and down to the Bill of Rights for the 21st Century, In that document, you will find a section talking about all elections must be local. You need to understand this, folks. We have a right to have local elections. We have a right to keep influences external from our legislative district. I mean, if you happen to live in a legislative district where Warren Buffett actually lives, and he actually has all that money in his pocket, you know, he can influence that election. He can influence the state-level elections, but he cannot influence the legislative district next to him. He cannot influence anything that's going on in another state. That would be interfering, and that's a foreign influencing, because when we look at it, when you look at the boundary of the election, such as your legislative district, if you're not a citizen of that legislative district, even though we don't have that level of citizenship, but we do understand this now. Back in those days, they didn't. But we do understand that you know, in one county have, you know, your rights of election and representation, and the people of another county are foreigners to you, and they have no right to engage in the politics or trying to buy representation for you. That's repugnant. It needs to be illegal. It's the same. It's influencing elections and allowing external influence is how we've gotten into this mess. We have the abilities to knock this out. This is why going through this strategy and going through these little blurbs, because I'll be honest with you, folks, I had a lot of other things I wanted to cover today. But when I started off on this, you know, off the cuff, politics are unconstitutional, illegal, you know, I knew deep down that, you know, there's no room for it. But I do also know deep down that there are politics that are allowed in the enumerated powers, like the politics involved in establishing post roads, or the politics involved in declaring war, or the politics involved in, you know, standardizing the militia and training and equipping them. Yeah, there's going to be some politics in there, but it can't interfere and it can't actually be antithetical to the overall mission of protecting our sovereignty and state sovereignty, our national sovereignty and state sovereignty. And when they do things, when our politicians do things that are antithetical to that mission, in other words, they allow, you know, illegal invaders to maintain, you know, residency, to maintain their inhabitants in America, then they're violating their oath of office. They're violating the standards that they promised by raising their arm to the square and supporting the Constitution that they would protect. They understand that they cannot. That's why there's nowhere in the Constitution, I'm sorry for speaking in sentence fragments, but there's nowhere in the Constitution that the federal government can allow any foreign nation to come in to purchase any property, any resource. Folks, when you start speaking this level of truth and you start realizing which bears and dragons we're poking here on this show, you probably would understand that this is the show that is developing the, let's say, public enemy number one. When I say public enemy, I mean globalist enemy number one. That's what I really mean, because it's the globalist. When they hear what we have to say, and when you start repeating this, then they start realizing that this is very dangerous to their plan, to their agenda. You know, we are in a very, very evil time. It is very dark. It is, you know, we've lost so many things, but we still have so much. And all of the things that we've lost can come back like that. I mean, seriously, they can come back like that by demanding full compliance to the Constitution. So what we have to do is we have to organize and we have to unite. We have to stop being factions of this party, that party, of this and that. We have to unite on the Constitution. It's not about, you know, becoming a, you know, hardcore constitutional Second Amendment or First Amendment of the press, First Amendment to speech, religious, you know, it's not one issue. It's the entire Constitution. We'll be right back after this.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our republic. Again, please take a look at my content on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we have to start uniting, and we have to actually start working together, and we have to actually put aside our differences and our self-interests. You know, what I was supposed to talk about, what I would, you know, one of the little blurbs I was going to get into before I even dove into the content of going through the strategy. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you that little blurb, because this goes to show, because most of the people, they kind of listen to the show. We have our highest tune in at the beginning of the show. So I'm going to have to repeat this tomorrow, but because it was supposed to be at the beginning. But I want to say it here now because I want to show that when it comes down to marketing for myself, and when it comes down to, because I'm not making money on this stuff. What I mean by this, folks, so just so you understand, on the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel, it's not being monetized. Not monetizing it, don't receive, I do not receive a penny from that. That's actually done by somebody else, and it's only a guy that's doing this because he supports this concept. I don't want to say that he gives me unbridled, you know, blind trust. I mean, the guy would constantly, you know, argue and you know, try to prove me wrong. And he'd always come up with these cockamamie theories. Forgive me for saying that, my friend. But anyway, you know, he'd say, well, what about this? And I would have to, and each time, if you asked him, was there ever a point in time where he caught me in a position where I was absolutely flat-footed wrong? And this goes to that, you know, real problem I have of I do like being right. But more importantly, it's because this guy supports me. He knows I need this help because it's something I can't do. I can't give myself to Google. And so, because the Google, if you understand big tech, and they are the biggest, you know, the ugliest, most monstrous thing out there that, you know, we have to protect ourselves from. I refuse to do or have an account with Google and have any direct digital footprint with them. Now, I know that there's ways they've got me in a footprint, but I'm pretty, you know, I'm applying as much smarts as I possibly can to ensuring that they do not have a good digital footprint on me. That's why my social media presence is very limited, and so forth and so on. So anyway, what I was supposed to say is that we did have, well, we have had that movie or that video that we just placed, that I just did with the county commissioners. It's been up on YouTube. It's actually got up there faster than I thought. It was posted, I believe, on Sunday. I didn't realize it until, you know, just now. And actually, see, this is how bad I am in trying to sell and promote. I know this is really important content. And it's not that it's not important. It's just that I get caught up and I'm not here trying to sell. I know that there are people that want. And there's lots of people that, you know, you talk to anybody that has dealt with me for, you know, any period of time, I'm very quick to go down rat holes. This whole show has been one large rat hole about politics. So one of the little things I was going to say, and this is what I'm saying, is that we've actually got this up. And this was something that was brought up by the good man that is actually running this webpage for me, or this YouTube channel for me. He says, you know, how come you never sell this? How come you don't ask people to subscribe? And I go, well, that's because I don't sell my books either. And he goes, yeah, but, you know, when you post stuff, if people subscribe, then they'll get notices. And and when we talked about this, and, you know, I sent this off to him to get it posted, and we haven't talked since, but voila, it got up on Sunday. And as I look at it, without any advertising, apparently there's 22 views. And what that means is that the subscribers that have subscribed to the channel have probably received their notifications, their RSS feeds, and said, oh, you know, let me go check this out. And so, or other people have been, you know, kind of waiting for it and watching for it. But folks, it's up there. This is part two of the presentation to your county commissioners. You can show this to them. You know, in other words, I can't come to all of your counties, but you can actually say, we would request that you give us an hour to show you some instructional video of, you know, what you are really all about, what you county commissioners or supervisors are all about, what you need to be doing, what you need to understand, because you think you have no power. We need you to understand who you are as our sovereigns. Because I'm going to say that most of these people may be caught up. There are, in red states, dark red states, pretty bad county commissioners. As a matter of fact, I know in dark red counties, there are communists, out card-carrying communists, that have fooled the voters into thinking because, oh, well, it's not really partisan. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's, you know, about, you know what we're trying to do for you. We're trying to protect you or what have you. And they get money from Soros or what have you. They dupe everybody and they get into office. And I see this all the time, that there are bad county commissioners. And you know what? There's not a lot of money in these races, in these county commissioner races. If you really think about it, it's a small little realm that everybody's turned their backs on. Watch, since we're putting the spotlight on county commissioners and county commissioner races moving forward, you're probably going to start seeing how much more competitive your county commissioner races are going to be. And how, you know, these movements, because our sites are focused on them. Watch these videos. I'm telling them that we're coming. I'm warning your county commissioners that you are coming, that you're going to get a mass of people to actually start supporting these First Amendment petitions and demand and hold them accountable and demand that they do their job and fulfill their oath of office in supporting that Constitution. So, folks, start watching these things. Start understanding this stuff, because the sooner you can do this and you can stand up and spew all of these things and go down all the rat holes like me, then I become obsolete. I don't want to be the keeper of the knowledge, and I'm not the keeper of all the knowledge. I think that there's, you know, people that have very deep knowledge, you know, on very myopic things, and we need those people. We need their help on First Amendment petitions, like what we're trying to do with the Constitutional Alliance in getting a First Amendment petition from them. And I kind of have the workings from them. I've never got their final output, but I'm hoping to get it soon so that we will have a real ID First Amendment petition. And so what we need to do is we need to create a – it doesn't matter. Remember, it does not matter how accurate and how well-refined the First Amendment petition is. You can always make it stronger, and you can always clarify it. You have to start putting your politicians, these sovereigns, these representatives on notice to say, you know, look, these things are happening, and there is no authority for them to do these things, like this real ID crap. There's no authority granted to the states to have a centralized driver's license database. There's no authority for them to be operating this federally funded central database of controlling you. You know, people think that they, you know, okay, only the states have ID. No. The entire driver's license has become a part of the grid. It's become a part of the Borg. And this happened under the Real ID Act. This all started happening as the federal government started pushing the states to start standardizing to basically kind of create a national ID and a national ID standard. They have no authority to do that. So back to really down to this little rat hole, because tomorrow we're going to get more into the strategy. What I want to do, and I've only got a minute left, if you really look at what you have to do, you don't have to be the subject matter expert. You just have to understand enough that when you read these petitions and it says that this invasion is unconstitutional and this is what has to happen, then the charge is to prove this wrong. If they go, well, there's these statutes that they've, you know, allowing this, that, you know, the federal government is allowing them to stay in. Hold on here. Does it say anywhere in the Constitution that anybody can run across our border? Do they have the authority to open up our border? No, they have the authority to maintain and have a uniform standard of immigration. And so when we really start going down it and they start, you know, creating these, what we call the color of law, these are laws that they've created that are illegitimate. They've assumed the power and then they started creating regulations and laws like the environmental laws. Those are the level of color of law that we are living under in the United States, you know, could beat us to death. This is why anybody can stand up and say almost every person in the United States commits a felony every day. And there's in some way, somehow, there's a color of law that they've created a felony associated to, you know, all of these aspects of our behavior and what we do in our society. And I'm telling you, folks, they don't have the authority to do any of this. So in our next show, we'll be doing some Feedback Friday, but I still need to cover some more of the stuff that I haven't covered today. So forgive me. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.